The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
Turn to, please, Ephesians 5. And I guess you can turn your cell phones there too, right? I guess you can use cell phones. I don't know. I don't get that. I know Jesus told me that if I mark in my Bible and study it and I got all kinds of highlighters, it's extra credit when I go to heaven. I don't know how it's going to happen with cell phones. I just don't know. You know, chapter 5 will begin in verse 25. Last week we addressed wives in what our Lord put down in His Word. It's His words, not my words, to you ladies. And man, my wife was in the children's church, and this thing that I read to her, and she goes, I know, I wish I'd been there, but praise God I wasn't. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, let the wives be subject to their own husbands. And then that dreaded word, in everything. Come on, Lord, do you know my husband? Do you know who I live with? Well, yes, He does. And so we went over that last week. And I pray that you wives took it to heart and it ascended from our brains, you know, our minds down to our hearts, that God could, speak to you and that we would be changed in the likeness of Him. That was last week, Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. So now, it's our turn, fellas. It's our turn, husbands. And in so doing, our Lord has determined that we need 9 verses. And we need 2 weeks. So if you don't get it this week, you're going to get some more next week. And then we'll end the chapter, of course, next week. And we'll be done and we'll go into another book. So let's read this together. Verse 25 begins with, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word." Notice here, very quickly before we get done with the scripture reading, that He might sanctify. Okay, well, what predicates Him being able to sanctify? Well, let's jump up to the next verse. It says, or to the verse above it, it says love. Without your love for your wives, pretty tough to sanctify there. Did you catch that, guys? Did you catch that? Please understand that. Love your wives. And how? Just like Christ, and we're going to talk about that, also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that He might, after that, sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. We're going to talk a lot about that, guys. That He might present her to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and without blemish. Now He's speaking to the church. Father, I ask God again that You would bless this study. That, Lord, that You would speak to us as husbands today. And Father, if we need to be rocked, then I pray, God, we'd open up our hearts to receive this. Because You want our marriages to be a representation, a picture of You and the church. And so help us to do that in this lesson that we have today. And not let one man or woman, especially us guys, leave this place without a healthy conviction. In Jesus' name, amen. So, how did and does Jesus love his church and gave himself up for her? Well, if you're taking notes, and as I said before, guys, you better be taking notes or act like you're taking notes, okay? I'm just saying. It's important to her. Three practical callings we have. We have a spiritual calling, we have a physical calling, we have an emotional calling. Those are the three things we have towards our wives. Did you check that out? Number one is spiritual calling. We're going to talk about that today. Number two is a physical calling. We need to take care of them, provide for them, love on them, you know, and that kind of thing. And then emotional calling. Oh, we hate that emotional calling, don't we? Hold their hand, look deep into their eyes and say, honey, what's for dinner? No, just kidding. Emotional calling. Sometimes we don't do that so well. Denying ourselves. Going to the cross, just as Christ did. Now, what does that mean to you guys? What does that mean? When I say go to the cross for your bride, what does that conjure up in your mind? Well, in the time that we have together this morning, our Lord will answer that question. If you are ready to receive it, guys. This isn't a condemnation thing. This is a spiritual conviction time. It convicted me. I cried three times in a study for the past 3 days that I've studied. I called my wife, and she's out of town. I called her in Florida 8 times, telling her how messed up I've been and how I love you more. Baby, get back here, you know, kind of thing. And it just convicted me. And as you know, most of you know, she's the most important thing in my life, and I usually show it, except for in two areas, the thermostat and the remote. I'm a little selfish in those two areas. We're still working that out. I'm sure the Lord will work it out by the time he gets back. So that's the question. So again, God's instruction are so clear, inspired, of course, by God's Spirit. Paul simply says, husbands, love our wives. Well, how do we love our wives? There, after 25, we read it. Let's look at it. If you're taking notes, again, we need to learn of God's heart concerning us as husbands. And after we know that, I think that things could really turn around for us. He says, love your wives. Well, now, wait a minute. So how should you love your wife? Because many times you think you're loving your wife, but if you ask your wife in secret, not so much. Not so much. But, you know, I'm dedicated. I'm staying with him, you know, and that's what I'm doing. Too far in the game. And then it's miserable until one of you dies. Do you want to be miserable for years and years? Just because you can't get a divorce or you can't separate or whatever it is, I guess you can. You know, that's not the thing we do. We let Jesus fix the problem. So might as well fix it now instead of just waiting and suffering through the whole thing. Fix it now, guys. And it's your job to fix it. Gib Allen, a noted family counselor, CC Orlando, he said this at a conference, and it's so true. After 5 years, guys, if your marriage is not good, it's like on the rocks, things are just not right, it's completely your fault after 5 years. You see, you get that 5 year to set the pattern, to get everybody on the same page in your family and to lead them with not only the watering of the word, but also in prayer and in getting them to church. And if you don't have that down in 5 years, it's your fault. You should have been working on it. It's the most important thing in your life next to salvation. Do you know that, guys? That's the most important commodity in your life. not your car. When you get to heaven, God's not going to ask you, hey, yeah, what kind of car you drive? How much money did you make? What position in life did you own? He's not going to ask you any of those questions. He's going to ask you, are you saved? Well, he'll know because you have the seal of the Holy Spirit. And the very next question he's going to ask you is, how did you take care? What did you do with my son? And how did you take care of your family and your wife? That's it. You know, it's God, family, right? Not God, job. God, what I drive. God, my hobby. None of that. You know, I'm just telling you guys. And look, here's the best of all. He'll help you. He will help you so much. You know, oh, her heart will never change no matter what I do. Yes, it will, because the Holy Spirit will change it. All they need, our wives need, is a little hope, a little something. I used to, when I was dating Carla, do Bible studies with her. Man, she fell in love with me, besides my good looks and attraction. But the biggest thing, and she'll tell you, is because I did Bible studies with her. I knew my word very well, went to a church that did the word quite a bit, and then I backslid, and then I came back to the Lord, and God then said, here she is. There she is. So when I met her, I started doing Bible studies with her, and she, man, she really fell in love with me. And fell deeper in love with Jesus as a result. And I did too. Even now, we talk about that kind of thing. And you know, now that we've been married 6, 7, 8 years, she reminds me why she fell in love with me. And I go directly to my Bible and get a devotion. And we do it together. And of course, she has devotions that she, you know, you ladies, you know how you do that. Ooh, this would be a good devotion for him. It works. It works tremendously. So God simply says, where Paul here simply says, husbands, love our wives. As I said in verse 25, just as Jesus loves you, just as Jesus loves the church, love your wives like that. So guys, if you're taking notes, and again, trust me, you better. Number one, life lesson. First of all, number one, he loves us sacrificially. Guys, you love your wife sacrificially? Do you give her the remote when she demands it? I do. We have two TVs. We have kind of a big one, I don't know, 50 inch or something. Then we have a 32, and that's in our bedroom. And when her, I don't know why she calls it her, but when her show comes on and I don't want to watch it, you know what I do? Recently, I give her the wand. I'm going to go read. I got a book I'm going on. I'll go read, or I'll go in the other room. Really? You would do that for me? Do you know how much dividends that brought into my life? Sacrificially. And that's not sacrificial, but God loved us sacrificially. In the Garden of Eden, the first Adam parted with his bone, a.k.a. rib, as you know that. By the way, while he slept. But see, however, the heel of Calvary, the last Adam, poured out his blood. There's a big difference there, isn't there? At creation, the first Adam gave something of himself. On the cross, the last Adam gave all of himself without complaining, guys, or conditions. You know, us guys, we either complain or we have conditions. We're playing this whole condition game. Like, well, if you do this for me, then I'll do that for you. And it doesn't work like that, guys. God doesn't honor that. There is no conditions. The only conditions that he stipulates for us is to die to self, and to die to our flesh as we love our wives. That's the condition, period. So guys, this means if I am to love my wife as Christ loved the church, then I'll love her to the point where we die to our own dreams. Getting tough in here. That we would even die to our own desires and maybe even to our own wishes. In other words, we need to love her to death, unto death. And for you in here, you guys in here that's lost your wife, you could stand right up right now and clap, couldn't you? Just praise God, you're right, Pastor. You're right. That's the way we need to love. Now, secondly, if you're taking notes, again, if you're a note taker, number two, Jesus loves the church unconditionally. Loves the church unconditionally. Well, what does that mean for us? You see, church, Jesus doesn't love us only if we're good boys and good girls. We know we do all the things that we need to do, and this whole thing about, you know, praying and reading, only if we have morning devotions, only if we tithe, that only makes our board happy, you see. And so he's not like that. He loves us, period, doesn't he? Just like the song says, he loves us, period. And we are to love our wives in the same manner, in the same way that when we're taking communion and we get done with the bread and the matzah and we go to the fruit juice, it says, and in the same manner, likewise, same here, same thing. God loves us, period. That's all there is to it. And we are to love our wives in the same manner. That same word means likewise or just like I said. Same as communion. Same word there in the original. You see, guys, I'm not to love her only if she makes good meals, laughs at my jokes, stupid jokes usually, or if she pleases me. I'm to love her, period. Period. And there isn't a woman on the face of the earth, now hear me on this, who will have difficulty submitting to a man who loves her in that way. Submission is never a problem when a man loves his wife as Christ loves the church, as long as she is, number one, saved, has the Spirit of God in her, and number two, believes in the infallible Word of God. Those two things. And if you have the Spirit of God in you, you're going to believe in the infallible Word of God. And so if those two things are correct in your wife, then it's up to you. It's up to you guys. Where you lead, she'll follow. Especially, you know, the world is not like that nowadays. You start talking about men leading, and they'll curse you. Or you start talking about dads leading, or even dads being in a home, they'll curse you. That's old-fashioned. It's not old-fashioned, our Lord. Well, submission is never a problem when that occurs, but we don't do that. I like what another pastor told me. He goes, every time, actually, I said it to my son. I said, son, every time that little dolphin comes up to your boat and wants to talk with you and hang out with you, you harpoon it. After a while, she's not going to want to come up to the boat. Do you blame her? Men, we are told to be gardeners of our family. The Bible clearly, Old Testament, New Testament, we're supposed to be. And so what we do, we speak to the gardener, the one that made the gardens, and then we go out and we're supposed to take care of our family, our gardening. Sometimes that means pulling weeds. But are you pulling weeds or are you pulling the flowers? We start pulling weeds many times and we devastate the whole garden. Well, I just get them all. And in the process, we mess up everything. Pulling weeds. We also need to read God's manual, what God left us to know how to be good gardeners. See, here's what happens. You have this beautiful flower, and she opens up to you, and she's like, "Oh, I love you. You're a great gardener." And we haven't read the manual, and so what we do is we have some weed poisoning, and we just accidentally put it right in. Right, it's just right here. You know, but I'm a flower. Here's some might get on you, but here, and you put some poison in, and that just boom, they don't open up to you. You poison. Put the poison in her. And then after a while, as women do, especially godly women, they start to open up a little more. And by the time they get opened up, There comes the poison again. Boom. And then after about the third or fourth time, when it's turning purple and blue, you ask, what's wrong with you? Right? What's wrong with you? And what? You've been acting kind of crazy lately. And one time, my wife just said, no, I'm going to get recordings all over the house. And then we're going to take him into Fidel Gomez as our pastor at the time. We're going to see what happens. So she kind of did. Before we got into Fidel, she prayed him for me. And I'm like, that wasn't me. That was someone who sounded like me. I kind of got a shot of what's going on there. I remember years and years later, Fidel wanted to use it for a marriage conference. I said, absolutely not. But that's what we do, guys. Instead of watering them, those plants, with tremendous godly water, we put poison in the flower of our life, and then we dry them up. And then you want to know, well, you know, my wife is dry as a desert and mean as a rattlesnake. Well, you poisoned her flower several times, and you haven't given her any water. Do you blame her? Not good. We're told to be gardeners of our families. And quite frankly, there's many that I meet and talk to that don't have a clue on how to garden. They have no clue. Gardening is a complete misconception to them. They have no idea how to garden. Our families. Submission is never a problem when a man loves his wife as Christ loves the church. Now notice, I didn't say to allow your wife your position. Because what happens, guys, is sometimes we just go, oh, that's her job. No, it's our job. And you just go, well, I don't want to get involved with this spiritual stuff. I got to work. Don't you know I got to work? I got to bring home the bacon. That's not your first priority, guys. Sorry. It's just not. If you want her to submit. So what we do, we allow our wives to take our position over as spiritual leaders. Not good. And they will take that over as a spiritual leader. Two reasons why. Number one, that was one of the curses in the garden. Because it said that you ladies would want our job. And sometimes I wonder, why in the world don't you have it? The way we act sometimes, you know? But then another reason is because God demands it for a good family, for a good marriage. That we need to lead. Our spiritual position is not to be given up. And most men that I meet, unless they're, you know, deacons and elders, a lot of guys, man, they don't know how to walk in that position that God's given them, like Christ told us to. And then the wife takes the position over and we want to know why. Adam, where were you when she got deceived by Satan and ate the apple? And all she wanted to do is get closer to God. And God gave Adam the chore to do that, or the privilege to do that. But no, he didn't do that. He was probably on a giraffe somewhere. I don't know. But you know, he didn't do that. And so she knew that if she just got that apple, okay, or whatever fruit it was, and you say, okay, well, I could be closer to God. My wisdom will open up. Everything will open up, and I'll be closer to God like Adam is. Adam walked with God in the evening, and he, you know, named all the animals, and I just want to be like that. I want to be close like that. And guess what? So she ate the fruit. Where are you at, guys? You going to let her eat the fruit again? Because you're off doing something other than protecting your wives spiritually and leading them spiritually. I'm passionate about this. I got people come in all the time with problems. They fight. They do this. You married longer than 5 years? Yeah. Who's the spiritual leader of your family? Do you read the Bible in church? And another thing, dads, husbands, it goes right down to the kids. It's not your wife's job to water your kids. She's a helper. She can tote the water. It's your job. Your job to water those kids. It means more to them when dad. I started doing that after many, many days of my wife reminding me who I'm supposed to be. And I get all the kids at the table, and we tried that, and it got to be the point where they would wake up on Saturday morning and come jump on the bed. Say, come on, Dad. Dad, Dad, the gunslinger. Dad, he's going to teach us God's word today. At that point in time in my life, my wife probably could have done a much better job. But I did it because God told me to do it, and my wife told me to do it, and it worked. I got instant respect from my kids. I don't know. Today, we don't do that so much. I know some that do. And the ones that do, dads, I commend you. And you got a good family. Oh, you still have a little hustle bustle going on there. It's a natural thing, you know, but you got it. You got it. You keep it up. Keep the work up. Keep the good work up. It's awesome. And so we need to walk in the position that God has given us. 26 and 27 then says this, that he might, God, sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by what? One, two, three, what?
The word.
Not vacations, not trips to the beach. You wash her with the word of God. And that's a bam shakalaka if I ever heard one. You got to worship with the word of God. Personally, again, that's why and how God orchestrated this whole thing with my wife. Guys, your wives yearn for that. That's the number one thing that I've talked to some of you in here. Only my husband would be the spiritual leader of our family. So as a bride of Christ, what does Jesus do to us? He washes us with the word. He washes us and waters us with the word. He irons out the wrinkles in 27, 26. He takes away the blemishes. And so doing, Jesus says, I know my bride isn't perfect, but I'm going to work on her and in her. On her and in her. That's what Christ says to his bride. That she might be sanctified, made beautiful, washed by the water of my word. That's what he says to his church. That's what he does to the church. Men, start washing your wives with the word of God. And that's a life lesson. And in time, your marital problems, most of them will disappear. Very easy, right? Okay, let me see. Let me think about this. Washing her with the word of God. And man, things are much better. Don't wash it with the word of God. Live all your life with arguing. And then maybe even a divorce. Guys, why are we like that? Well, I don't know. You know, I'll pick divorce maybe. I'll get me another. Or, you know, I don't know. It's too hard to do. I'd rather read a book. And then we don't read the book. We read about 3 pages and throw it underneath the couch. No. Man, if you want to fix your marriage, start watering your wife with the word of God. That's what you do. You gird up, man. Be a man. Be a spiritual man. Be a Jesus man. Gird up. Forget about everything and anything except watering your family with the word of God and watch it change. We sure do water our places where we work, our jobs, don't we? We water it with something else, not the word of God. Hey, husband's newsflash. If you don't like your wife, and I've heard this before, I don't like my wife. I love her, we got to stay married, but I don't like her much. If you don't like your wife, brother, it's because you've been a miserable husband. Do you understand what I just said? If you don't like your wife, and in many different areas, it's because you have been a miserable husband. How do I know that? Isn't that heresy? I don't believe that. Well, in fact, 1 Corinthians 11:7 tells us the woman is the glory of the man. It says that. For the man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image of the glory of God. We're big dogs in the kingdom. But what do? But woman is the glory of man. Wow! Now what does that mean? I can see right now the feminist movement, it strikes that from the Bible in a heartbeat. But they don't know. They don't study. They don't know what that means. Here's what that means in the original, text. The word glory literally means reflection. That puts a whole nother meaning to that, doesn't it? Reflection. That's exactly what glory means. And so, in other words, if we look at our wives and don't like what we see, it's because in reality, we are seeing a reflection of our own failures. Now take that to the bank and spend it. It's the truth. Because God said it. I didn't say it. Sometimes we have to dig a little deeper in our word to understand that things like that, reflection of us. God said it, so don't deny it. Don't blame shift. Just get busy and start watering. Start watering. It'll change you as well, that you won't be that miserable thing. When I'm complaining, I got something going on with my body, or my wife's favorite word is, you're a miserable thing. I know, honey. Help me out here, babe. And she does. But she likes to call me, and I am miserable. So you who say she's miserable and dry as a desert. In short, I just don't like my wife. I resoundingly declare, when was the last time you washed her with the water of God's word? That's what I'd ask you. Do you even open your Bibles at home? Or does she have to do it? Quite frankly, the lack of watering will cause your wife to dry up and blow away. Will completely discourage her. Completely. It's not my job. It's not deacons and elders' job. It's not the Bible studies, the women's retreat. And, oh, they'll go. Guys, we hate it. We get the day and we go, you know, oh man, it's four more days. Is there anything I can do? Maybe I can break my leg. Or something. We just, for some reason, we're just not, I don't know. And our wives, well, at least my wife did, packed my clothes, registered me, paid for it. You know, you're going. Back in the day. So I went, and I had a great time, and I learned more how to love my wife. And so, here's the thing. Question, when was the last time you opened the Bible in your home with her? And just read it. You don't have to teach, or just read it. Both of you read. And read some and give it to her. Let her read some. When was the last time you humbled yourself before the Lord and prayed for her? Specifically for her. I'm busting myself. But there's been stuff that has happened when we're raising a church together that I'm like, man, I need to love her more. I just need to love her more. You ladies are awesome. And many times, us guys, we've got such a callous heart, we really don't, it doesn't, you know, bing, until they're gone. Don't let that happen. So when was the last time? Just two commandments God wants. Two commandments, water and pray. Can you water and pray? You can water and pray at the same time. Can you just do that, guys? Water her. Start with that. Water her and pray for her. When's the last time you prayed for your wife? Go down on your knees and just pray for her. Just somewhere, you know, a closet somewhere. When's the last time you watered her? Water and pray. And to restore and improve your relationship with your wife and with God. Guys, if I don't like my wife's appearance, attitude, actions, the tendency could be, even in churches, we could think or we could say, I'll just find me another. But hold on there for a minute. Let me discuss something with you. That won't work either. Duh. That won't work. How I know? Well, guys, we have to understand something. Because my next wife also being a reflection of my own selfish shortcomings, that won't change. And eventually will inevitably seem just as flawed to me, and so she gets booted to the curb. Or she's the one that is a reflection of you. It's not their problem. It's my problem. I had a few girlfriends in my life. And as soon as we met, we'd meet, you know, and go on a date. Oh, man, they loved me. I was like a Juan Don. Juan Don? That's not right. Don Juan, there you go. Well, maybe I was like Juan Don, I don't know. You know, Billy Graham, Don Juan, right? But here's the problem. Within a week, sometimes a month, if I'm fortunate, they leave. I don't want to date you anymore. Why? Well, you know, you've been rubbing off on me. And I'm miserable. Really? I'm making you miserable? Basically. See ya. You wouldn't want to be ya. And that happened all the time. So I met Carla. I said, Lord, God, just please let her fall in love with you so she won't leave me. That was narcissistic, wasn't it? We don't get it many times. When I studied that about our wives being a reflection of us, wow. And therefore, happy wife, what? And you know, most people look at it and go, you know, no, it's right, man. And how do you get a happy wife? Two things. What are they? Water and what? Pray. Start with that. Water and pray. They will follow you anywhere you go for the first 5 years. And so if you've been married 10, 20, 30, is it too late? No. Because the Holy Spirit is stronger than any daggone husband in here that has messed up. And all you have to do is turn and start doing watering and start praying. Now, I know your wife might pass out or call someone and tell them my husband's gone crazy, come get him. But you can do it. You can do it. And you'll see immediate reaction, immediate reflections of who we are. That's what that glory means. They're a reflection. But please, we need to realize that she is a reflection when we actively practice and walk in it. So, come on, guys. Did you blow it? Start watering. The first miracle Jesus ever did was a marriage ceremony. We all know that, don't we? That's where the miracles needed to happen most often, usually. Bless the marriage. You know the story. The wine having run out, Jesus called the servants apart and said, take those stone pots, fill them to the brim with the water. Then serve the water to the guests. And guess what, gang? Sure enough, as the servants began to pour, the water was changed to wine. By the way, the Bible says of the highest quality. It wasn't fruit juice. It was some kicking wine. And it tasted good too. Well, reflected there in John 2:10. So two husbands, just as Jesus came as a servant of all, we're to be a servant of all to our wives. You're the man. Suck it up. Well, she hurt my feelings. What? What are you, what? Let me slap you. Just kidding. Spiritually speaking. You're a man. She hurt my feelings. Huh? What you need to do is feel a little bit, whether you want to or not. Grab her hand and say, honey, I feel your pain. I feel your emotion. I know you don't, but say it anyway. Then ask God to help you with that, to be able to do that. That's who we are. Man up, man. I don't know what the world has done to us, but a real man loves his wife like Jesus loved the church. That's a real man. So cut it out. Forget about it. And there's a couple guys I'm thinking about right now that needs to be in here. And so you ladies that are here instead of him, you take the tape home. Let them listen to it. And bring it back next week, because I'm really going to get into you next week, guys. And so check this out. If the wine of romance, the wine of happiness, the wine of joy is gone from your marriage, then what we need to do is fill up our own earthen vessels with the water of the Word. It starts with us. You can't lead unless you know something, unless you've read it yourself, unless you committed to God a prayer. It's not the whole phrase about why, you know, you can lead a horse to water, but they won't drink. Here's the thing. That's not the question. The question is, why won't they drink of the water of God's Word? Why? There's the problem, guys. Why won't you drink? Are you drinking from another well? You getting your satisfaction in work or whatever it is? Sports, hobbies? You need to drink deeply of the Word of God, especially husbands. In other words, get back into the Word. Reestablish your devotional time. Even if you ever had one, you come to me, I'll give you a devotional. They're on the internet everywhere. So, men, man up, fulfill the calling God has given you. Quit being a wimp and a slackard. When you see God, He's not going to again ask you how much money you made, what you drive. He's going to ask you what you did with my son, Jesus, and what did you do with your family. That's what He's going to ask you. And so get ready. Is this convicting today? It convicts me. So once you get refilled with the Word of God, men, then take what you've learned and then serve your wife the water of God's Word. Hey, babe, look at what God showed me today. You have to call the paramedics because she'd pass out. Hey, babe, look what God showed me. I've been in His Word. He showed me this. It's pretty cool. I think it's pretty cool. And when you say that, when she responds with, yeah, whatever, don't, you deserve that one, okay? But be interested, ladies. Something's happened there in his heart. Look what God showed me. And that's our job. Show your wife, then, after you fill yourself full of the Word, then serve your wife with the water of the Word, big time. Then watch it be a transformed, completely transformed relationship into the wine of joy. God promises it. Don't go the way of the world. Oh, man. I don't know how those people in Hollywood keep track of how many people they've been with and married. Isn't there like they should have a cutoff of maybe 10 wives? Once you get to the 10th wife, you can't marry anymore. Or, you know, you got to stay with the 10th one. It's just, it's mind-boggling, is it not? This one's with this one and that one's with that one. Have they no shame? And so, yes, according to the Word of God, not according to the world. Amen.
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.